call this meeting of the Bartlett Public Library District to order. It's 7 p.m. Roll call.
Boyer?
Here.
Sias?
Here.
Barry?
Here.
Lucaro here. Olson?
Here.
Daney?
Here.
Hopkins?
Here.
Pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any town hall? Hearing none. Move on to the consent agenda. Is there any items that we want, anyone wants removed from the consent agenda?
The minutes from the August 5th Finance Committee meeting are not prepared yet.
So item B, or 1B. Trustee Olson?
I would like to remove item A, minutes of the July 19th meeting.
Okay. Any others? No. All right. I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with items 1A and 1B removed.
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Barry. Thank you, Trustee Daney. Roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Okay. The first item is item 1B. You just noted that they were not.
Yeah, we can table it until the next meeting.
Item 1A, Trustee Olson.
Yes. I would like to amend the minutes of July 19th to make the following changes. On page 5, first paragraph, third line, insert, in the event that a protest to the levy is filed to the date of the prospective referendum would be June 28th, 2022. Right now, it doesn't talk at all about the prospective referendum, and I think for clarification purposes that we should have that in the language. On page 6, I would like, under discussion item 2, to add he stated that those trustees who served on the July 4th committee were not acting in their fiduciary roles as library trustees when they made decisions in the 4th of July committee role, which resulted in the closing of the library on other than July 4th. End quote. And that's the two amendment to the minutes that I'd like to move.
Okay, are there any other changes to this item that anyone else has before we make a motion? Motion to approve the minutes with the changes as noted.
Has there been a second to that motion?
There hasn't been a motion. There's no motion. It fails.
I'm sorry.
It fails. There was no motion to approve the minutes with those changes. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as stated?
I'll make that motion.
Trustee Barry?
I'll second it.
Trustee Daney, thank you. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
No.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Okay. Reports, questions, and comments, presidents and trustees. Does anybody have anything?
Yeah, I'll just say the, well, the foundation had its Dine to Donate on Saturday, and I haven't received any information from Peggy as to how many people showed up or what. But there was, I believe, a 15%. They were going to donate 50% of the...
Can I ask everybody to speak up, please, for the recording?
That's all I have. Thank you, President Hopkins.
Ray and I went.
I went too.
Good. Thank you.
Great. Okay. First action item is reviewing the financial report.
Well, we're all very excited. We have our new financial report, and James is here to go through it with us.
Excited to be here. So the financial report obviously looks very different than what you've seen before. But I'm going to walk you through kind of the different pieces to it, and then, as always, communication, feedback, anything that you want to see or that you don't like in color, anything like that, we can always make some changes to this report. So we're going to walk through the 1 month ended July 31st. So as we enter the first month of our new fiscal year, I think, what's important is that we remember we've got some of these timing changes. So we're at the end of last year, beginning of the new year, so we are going to make some accrual adjustments in these first 2 months. We talked about that a little bit, and then after that, it's all cash basis going forward. In terms of the balance sheet, that's going to be the first report you see, or page two. I always like to look at cash. These are the reconciliations that are also provided. And again, we want to make sure that, one, we've got adequate cash to carry us from tax payment to tax payment, and we're trying to put as much as we can aside for a big capital project. So you can see you're very healthy right now. You've gotten that first installment from DuPage. You got about $2.5 million in your Fifth Third account. Again, not making tons of interest. We know that rates are just low everywhere. But again, we're trying to now direct deposit property taxes into your money market account. So again, when they start from day one, they'll earn a little bit of extra back. So.
And I have confirmation from both DuPage and Cook County that those changes have been made.
Great. Foundation accounts are here too. So you can see in total, we're basically on the asset side, all cash. We're modified cash, $2.8 million in total there. And then as you go down into liabilities, again, you're going to see a couple of things that we're going to be, working towards. Accounts payable right now at about $45,000. So these are bills that have yet to be paid. That's going to kind of self-correct as we go into next month, and then we'll turn into cash basis after that. Payroll liabilities and health insurance. You can see these negative amounts, negative liabilities, not common. So this is something we're going to be probably making some adjusting entries for. It's not typical to have a $16 liability, but this is some of what we had carrying over from the prior year. So we're going to be fixing those going forward, because again, that's not a typical thing that we see. Fund balance and surplus to date, again, you're going to see that surplus a little bit later on in that profit and loss statement. But again, the beginning fund balance, that's unaudited. So I just want to remind everybody of that. That again is going to be subject to changes. If we get some late bills and need to pull them back, you're going to, obviously see that number come down. But about $2.8 million there, pretty much mirroring your cash position. And again, as we move away from the end of the fiscal year, cash should equate to those two numbers, your surplus and your fund, beginning fund balance from the prior year. So moving to page three, this is kind of the high level summary of where we're at on the P&L side. So that was your balance sheet. So now this is your profit and loss. And again, your balance sheet, that fund balance is what stays with you year after year. So that's really important, as well as cash. And then again, this is a snapshot of what the 12 months of the year are going to look like in terms of our fiscal year. So at the top, you're going to see we've got, the actual numbers that have come in. Those are year-to-date numbers. So again, as we move into month two, it'll be year-to-date for 2 months. The total budget for the year, again, we've looked at you've got a working line budget and, the appropriation, which gets approved. So those get knocked in from that. Percent of budget, so how are we looking in terms of the percent of budget for the whole year to date? And then the prior year-to-date. So we can kind of get an analysis of, why are we up or down versus where we are in the year budget-wise, and also why are we up or down from the prior year. And these are all things that we look into before we come to present and put these together so that we can have some highlights for you. Property taxes here you see at 52.5%, down about 10% year on year. Now again, this is going to be those monies that you took in last fiscal year. You defer those into this fiscal year because they're really for fiscal 22. Again, down 10%. This is something we're going to continue to monitor. We've got some probably late collections that are forthcoming. Most likely in August, you're going to see that number go up again. But again, we know that Cook County is going to be late this year. There's just no doubt about it. The bills went out, are going out late. I don't think I've gotten mine yet. We were in, you know, draft extensions for a very long time. So we're going to see some October collections, I would think, on that installment in terms of how the tax bills are and the timing of those. So again, nothing too concerning yet, but we're going to continue to monitor this number as we move, as we know that's our biggest revenue stream. Replacement taxes, this comes in about every other month. It is up quite a bit over last year. That's good news. That's the business tax on corporations, partnerships. And again, it's a percentage-based tax based on the income. So again, you see that's at 27%. It's up 83%, but on a much smaller number. So that's, those percentages don't mean as much. Again, interest, we're up. We're at 7%. We're at 8% of the fiscal year. So again, that's something we'll continue to watch. We're up 3.5%, which sounds good, but it's about $8. So nothing not too much interest being earned there, which is normal, given how low interest rates are. Other than that, some you know, fines, some photocopy receipts, some gift receipts, all of those are good news. But you can see in the end here, we're at about $1.7 million, that $1.68, on about a $3.3 million revenue budget. We're at 51%, but again, you see we're down about 9.5% from where we were last year. So really, collections are going to be the name of the game this year. We want to watch those as they come in. We should obviously end the year in a better property tax position than the prior year. We always get to capture that CPI and new growth. That number typically will go up for us every year. In terms of operating expenditures, so this is really where we like to get a gauge of where we're at in the fiscal year, and then is that percentage in terms of the budget up higher than that, and the reason why there, and then what did we do last year, and are we up higher? So the first thing that really stands out is personnel, and I had to go back and look at that number. We're at 9.4%. Again, we're at 8% in the year gone by, but we're biweekly payrolls. So we've had three payrolls in this month, so that's going to really skew that number. And you see it's up quite a bit over last year. Last year we had, you know, a reversal of a payroll accrual too that took place just based on the timing of that pay period. So again, not too concerning at this point. Other personnel on the market at just under 8%, down about 37% year on year. Building operations at 4%, you know, down 41%. Those all are coming in good. We do see a negative number here. This is some of that accrual accounting that we're doing in these 2 months. So we're reversing things from that shouldn't be in this fiscal year back to last year. It causes a little bit of a timing delay, which we'll catch up next month and turn that number positive. Other than that, materials, you see at about 11%. That's up about 50%, but only about $12,000 there. IT, this is the subscription. So again, we're accruing these subscriptions out of the gates. We're already at 47% there, up about 24% over last year. Other expenditures, so this one here I wanted to point out because this is our per capita expenditures. So we're accruing those. Last year we had a bunch that were actually service dates into the future, so they get marked as a prepaid and then get reversed into this year. So for those, it's gonna look a little different than last year. Again, we're gonna have adjustments that come a little bit later on in the year, just as how it was done by the prior accountants. That'll bring those numbers closer together. We spend every dollar we take in. We have a worksheet for that. This is just the way that it gets accrued accounting. Other than that, not much else. Everything very close to that 8%. Building maintenance at 6%. FICA and IMRF, those are going to typically follow your payroll, so you're at 9% about respectively for each of those. And again, down at the bottom, work comp liability, a lot of this gets paid up front during the year. So you see we're already at 43%, but again, most of that has been dollar amount is for the full 12 months.
And James, can you explain why these are higher numbers in some of the special funds versus what our budget was?
Yeah, so we looked at the special line item budget, and really we were looking at, you know, revenues and expenditures netting to zero. But we went back to the appropriation and said, okay, what's in the appropriation for these amounts? Because we didn't want it to just be offset by taxes, because we need obviously more money. We're going to be bringing these funds down. That's the whole purpose of having more expenditures sometimes than the tax revenue. And again, it's just a strategic move in order to keep the fund balance into our operating accounts. We want it in that general fund. That's where we can use it for all those library needs. We don't want to build excess fund balance in, let's say, work comp or liability, because we can't get at it then. It's restricted, and so we want to bring that back into the library. So all in, we're about $329,000 spent for operations. That's at about 10% and up about 58%. But a lot of that has to do with the accrual accounting, especially that per capita. So, on three payrolls, though, again, this is not too concerning to be up only 2% from where we are in terms of the fiscal year, one month. So big, you know, we've got a nice surplus from operations, about $1.35 million. And then we had one capital expenditure. I think it was for some computers. I think it was Dell computers. So that's where you see that almost $19,000 come out. We're at about, you know, almost 68% of the budget spent there. But again, capital expenditures, so it's a one-time hit typically. So that's why that's, again, not too concerning compared to where we are in the fiscal year. So all in, we have a total surplus of about $1.3 million on a beginning fund balance of $1.45 million. Puts us at almost $2.8 million in ending fund balance. And again, that'll tie back to that balance sheet that you saw at the very beginning. This is the next page here. We always like to put in some graphs. I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, when they can see it in a graph form, it helps some of the understanding. So here we just wanted to show you, you know, we have a lot of different revenue streams, and really property taxes are taking up about almost 100% of the revenue so far. Only 0.2% on replacement taxes, and all those other smaller dollar amounts don't really even make the pie chart at this point. On the operating side, it's always good to know the money going out the door and what percentage of the overall budget, especially for operations, it is. And you can see personnel makes up about 44%, other personnel about 5%, building operations about 3%, materials 11%, programs and public relations 1%, office expenses 0.6%, IT 8.5%. Other expenditures about 10%, most of that per capita. Building maintenance 3.5%, FICA 3.4%, IMRF 5.4%, work comp 1.3%, liability 3.2%. So as we move our way through the year, this is always good to reflect back on, just so you can say, okay, you know, here are the kind of the contractual expenses that the library district has for personnel, insurances. They make up a pretty big piece of the pie. What is our discretionary spending? What do we really have to use for programming and that sort of thing? So this is something we'll continue to look at just to get a good sense of, you know, how tight is that budget? What do we have left over for discretionary spending? Other than that, the next is just a bar graph. You can kind of see there that we're in a good position right now, 1 month in, but that's because we've got half that tax money. So again, we're going to continue to watch this as we go. On the next page, this will be page, I think it's page. This is our by fund report, and again, I'm sorry, this is page 6. This is the one I like because it's going to show you kind of, when you look at your audit, this is how it's presented, except some of these are consolidated into your major and then your non-major funds. This is going to show you every fund the district has. I think it's nice to just kind of look at the percentages. You've got that percent difference, and right away I can tell, okay, it looks like we've got about half the tax monies in, because all the funds that have, you know, 51% to 53%, that those are going to be tax related. And then 51% in total, you can see we've taken in actual versus budget. And then down below that, I just like to look at my by funds percentages again, just to kind of see, you know, where are we trending in terms of where we are in the year. So again, that 8% that 1 month in is kind of my gauge. You can see, you know, we've got our general fund right now at about 10%, again on an extra payroll. And then we've got about 6, 9, 3, and then those other expenditures that were actually for more than just 1 month. It's for, you know, almost the whole year at 43%, and then 0 in terms of the audit fund so far, and capital projects again. So this is all just something that I like to look at. It's nice to have this, I think, just to get a comfort level of what we're, not only the percentage of what we're spending, but how we look based on where we're at in the fiscal year, and then to know some of the reasons why those might be higher or lower. Down at the bottom is the surplus or deficit by fund. So again, something else to keep in mind. Once we have our audit, we're going to populate this with fund balances. And that's going to give you a really nice picture of, okay, where do we have too much fund balance? Where do we have not enough? You know, what kind of changes do we need to make to our levy or our budget to kind of get to where we want to be in terms of fund balance? The next slide is going to be kind of more all the detail. I'm not going to bore you and go through every line account here, but again, this is going to kind of be straight out of you know, our accounting, our set of books, to kind of show you, you know, we put in there kind of a monthly total. Obviously right now the monthly total matches the year-to-date total because we've only got 1 month. But it kind of gives you, again, what are we spending versus what our monthly budget is. That's always a good number that I like to look at. In addition to kind of all the different line accounts that make up the district's, the district's set of books, and are, you know, are we over or under budget in those funds? And how are those trending versus the prior year? So all that information, we try to condense. This is a busy schedule, but I think it's kind of a nice snapshot of everything. So if you're wondering, you know, we look like we were a little bit over, you know, what is our staff relations account look like? Here's where you can go to try to pull that out and say, okay, this is what we spent year to date, this is what we spent last year. Okay, I can see where that number's coming from. And then at the very bottom, we just show you again the income by fund at the very bottom and last page. But that's pretty much the report, kind of in a summary. I'd be happy to take any questions you might have. And again, any formatting changes or anything that you'd like to see, please let me know.
I have a couple comments about, I like the format. But I have a couple of comments about the way that we're spreading budget. I would like to suggest that perhaps we look at changing tax-based revenues so that they coincide with the months in which we should expect to receive those funds. For instance, in July, we would populate basically half of our Cook County and half of our DuPage County, because the due dates being in the prior fiscal year, that being set up as prepaid revenue, so to speak. And then in August and September, reflecting the majority of the balance, so that we know at the end of September, in most years, where we actually stand versus our budget.
Tax-wise, yeah.
And then on the expense side, we have some expenses that hit our on a specific month basis, like our property taxes, our liability insurance, et cetera, which hits in June. And we then, if we have in June those dollar amounts that are budgeted, we know what the expense was. We know immediately what our pickup is or deficit is from those line items. And I believe that in IT, we have an annual contract for our software, our Polaris software, that is the biggest portion of those expenses. I believe that's generally, again, a May or June, possibly July expense. But, you know, I'd like to see that sort of refinement so that, you know, we're not looking at wild swings.
Yeah.
You know, right now it looks like we, with the exception of payroll, it looks like our expenses are out of line, but with some of these things taken into account, they're really what we would anticipate. They're not abnormal in any fashion.
Yeah, I think that to build that, you know, the consistency so that we're all on the same page, I think, you know, this year there'll be a little bit of a difference than what we've been doing before, because obviously we're going to try to do those accruals in the first few months that we talked about. But after that, I think as long as we go cash basis, and I'm pretty sure that's what the board wants to do, that we would then see, though, with the consistency of how we're doing it now going forward, we would be able to see that and be able to explain it. So I think we're going to get there. I think this will be a unique year, though, and I'm more than willing to come back to continue to explain how these are different and terms of financials versus, you know, what you had last year.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is that I'd like to see it reflected on a cash basis, the budget.
Okay.
I'm a little confused, but basically, I would like to see that when the money is received, it goes in the budget. I know most of the time it might come in specific years.
Right.
A particular month, you know, we're going to get these months. But there will be times, and I think Cummins is a great example, that the money might not be there for that period of time. And I think it's a lot easier for us to explain that, okay, Cook County hasn't deposited its tax kind of like, that's why it's off, it doesn't look right.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, that could reflect how much money we actually have to spend, not what's in the budget, but actually what's in the bank account.
Correct, and that's what you're...
That's my main concern.
And you're going to see that on the balance sheet too, because we're going to make sure that, you know, the cash is in there based on what we receive. You're going to see that in your monthly column in terms of taxes. But also at the end of the year, you know, and trustee, as you mentioned, you know, when you receive that June payment, that's not really for this fiscal year, that's for next year. So you're going to see it in cash, but you're also going to see that deferred revenue. I know you guys have all seen that before. But that just means that the timing-wise, it's not for this year, it's for next year.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Okay, thank you.
The only suggestion I would have is...
Can you speak up, please, for the tape?
Sorry. The only suggestion I would possibly have is any adjustments or journal entries that you make, just make a list of them so we know what you did.
Yep, so Mary Ann's been sending us kind of prepaids and accounts payable, and we can then build, I don't know what kind of level of detail, but I can just give you kind of like the entry itself, so you can kind of see what accounts it is.
Yeah, just see it now.
Okay, yeah, that's no problem.
Anybody else? John?
I just want to say I appreciate the effort to define what we're looking at, what to direct attention to and what to not get hung up on. I thought that was helpful. Certainly not a review every month like that, but as an introduction, certainly very helpful.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And we need to...
It's just a review.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't put it there so that we didn't have to have any committee.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome, everybody.
Okay, so approval of the tentative budget and appropriation ordinance 2021-2.
When the finance committee met, there was consensus that the document was in order, and so I'm asking the board to approve the tentative budget and appropriation ordinance 2021-2.
Entertaining a motion to approve as stated. Make a motion. Trustee Caparo, is there a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Tobias, is there discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote. Boyer?
Yes.
Tobias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Caparo, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Establishing a date and time of the public hearing concerning the budget appropriation ordinance 2021-3.
So after the meeting tonight, I'm going to send the public notice to the Daily Herald, and they are targeted to publish it Wednesday, the 18th, which will give us 30 days before our September 20th meeting. So I think we can have the hearing at 6:45 p.m. on the night of our September board meeting. Yes.
Is there a motion to approve that date and time?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, trustee Tobias.
I'll second.
Thank you, trustee Daney. Any discussion? Roll call.
Boyer?
Yes.
Tobias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Caparo, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay, approval of chief fiscal officer's statement of estimated revenue.
This document was also reviewed by the finance committee, and there was consensus that the document was in order. Basically, if you look at it, it's pretty much the first sheet of the tentative budget and appropriation. So the finance committee members came to an agreement that it was in order, and so I'm asking the board to approve it for tonight.
And have a motion to approve the chief fiscal officer's statement of estimated revenue.
So moved.
Thank you, trustee Barry. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, trustee Olson. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Collier?
Yes.
Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Carol, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay, set date and time of presentation by auditor.
The finance committee discussed this, and trustee Olson had requested that we hold a more detailed overview meeting prior to the committee of the whole meeting. So I'm going to go ahead and set that up as a public meeting and invite any of the trustees who may want to come in for a more detailed review of the audit. And then I believe we talked about the committee of the whole meeting, but I couldn't remember if we had decided 6 or 6:30 to start that.
We usually start it at 6 p.m. And then we get rid of it, then we get rid of it. Kind of like sometimes, but that.
Just shoo them away.
We approve it, and then we take a recess until 7 p.m.
Okay, so let's do it at 6 p.m.
We have something else at 6:45, right?
No, this is the October board meeting.
Oh, the October, okay.
Okay, so September would be?
September is the public notice hearing at 6:45. October is the committee of the whole meeting at 6 p.m.
Do you need a motion for that?
Yes.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you, trustee Sias. Trustee Olson, any discussion? Okay, roll call vote.
Collier?
Yes.
Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Carol, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay, approval of the annual report, IFLAR.
Yes, Peggy had pointed out a couple changes to me. What was it again?
Concerned about the timing with the COVID.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Peggy had asked about whether or not we were closed.
And then the fund balances.
Yeah, and then I inserted the fund balances. So trustee Olson had like 5 different things, and I emailed everybody on those. So the IFLAR actually tracks data from July 1st through June 30th, and we were open in April of 2021. So we are good to go. There was 78 one-on-one tutorials. I had not inputted that figure. And then there was, we didn't explain why we're not using E-rate, and I spoke to Bridget about that, and it's because we're in a 5-year contract with AT&T. Maybe 4 or 3 years now.
Maybe ICN. We'll be eligible to apply for E-rate in fiscal year 23-24.
So we have that on our list to make sure that we address that and look into it. And then the other one was, do you remember, trustee Olson?
I asked about the parking lot for the 2021 fiscal year end.
And I called the state and asked where I should put that, even though we had started it with the architects. But because the actual work is going to be done this fiscal year, we were to put it in work to be done.
Okay.
And I included the accessibility for the ramp because it's all part of the same project under parking lot repair.
So,
yeah.
Annual report as with the changes noted back and forth.
I'll move.
I'll give it to trustee Pecaro. Second.
Second.
Trustee Olson, thank you. Is there any discussion? Roll call vote.
Collier?
Yes.
Sias?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Pecaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, approval of resolution authorizing non-resident cards for 2021 and 2022 fiscal year.
So each year the Board of Trustees needs to take action to decide whether to issue non-resident library cards during the ensuing months. The tax bill method 23AD determines the non-resident card fee code 3050.60B. Under this method, the non-resident card fee is calculated by applying the library's district's total tax to the non-resident property owner's principal residence assessed valuation. the most recent property tax bill will be used. The non-resident property owner will pay the same amount as would be paid if the property were in the library district. I'm recommending that the board approve this resolution with a roll call vote, and I do want to note that I did use the DuPage County tax rate. Since Mary Prohaska has been here, and we also checked with Mary DeVito, we have not had any Cook County non-resident card people come in and ask, but we are working on figuring out the Cook County rate. It's just a little bit more convoluted, so that if somebody does, we will be able to do the Cook County rate.
I will entertain any motion to approve the resolution.
So moved.
Thank you, Trustee Barry, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Boyer, is there any discussion? None, and a roll call vote.
Boyer?
Yes.
Zayas?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Carl, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Okay, COVID-19 response.
I just wanted to give everyone an update that we acted rather quickly when the recommendation came out from CDC, so we have on our signs and everything in the library is that we're strongly recommending masks to be worn, and we're continuing to follow social distancing. If there is something else that comes up or anything changes, we'll hold a special board meeting if we need to. But people have been pretty respectful, and I think that the staff is appreciative that we don't have to police whether or not people are wearing the masks.
I'd like to make some comments, if I might. What I have been paying attention, and what I was in today, I saw only about 60% of the adults that I saw in the library actually wearing masks. So I don't know how effective we're being. I'm concerned because it appears that both the Delta and the Lambda versions of COVID-19 are more virulent than the original strain. Whether we're adequately protecting not only our staff, but members of the public by not requiring masks. Many employers, many buildings and businesses have returned to requiring masks, and I would hate to see us be a contributor to the ongoing problem. You know, when we originally started out, in many ways, we patterned ourselves after what was happening in our local school district. And U46 is requiring masks of students and staff and visitors. They're even going so far as to require that, as many other businesses and governmental agencies are, to require vaccination of employees or face loss of employment. I'm not ready to suggest that, but it seems to be a direction that many governmental agencies are employing. That's all I wanted to say.
Anyone else?
I'd like to question, as we have some staff members here, I mean, you're here all day. I mean, are you concurring that you're seeing less masks, or is it just a chance thing when Trustee Olson was there?
I'm saying more in the last few weeks than before.
Yeah, not everybody wears them, but I'm not, I wouldn't say that it's half the people that are here that come in.
Thank you.
Okay, parking lot project update.
So I sent out an email to Trustee Olson's questions that Elizabeth had responded to us. So Trustee Olson had pointed out that under general notes, item number six, it says Lake County Highway Department. She noted that and she will make a change. In regards to the handicap parking spaces near the main entrance, we need to define where the signs will be and whether or not to eliminate the third parking spot right next to the railings. Make it a labeled sign or 15 minute only, or use the diagonal lines to just block it off as a spot. We talked with Nate and Elizabeth today, and we feel that if we did put a 15-minute spot, that would be hard to monitor. And then also, if we just did a spot there, it would be somewhat difficult if there were two cars there and if somebody had a chair lift. So we liked the extra space with the lines there, so we are recommending it to leave as it is currently. Trustee also mentioned that there was a bollard left over from the location of the previous book drop that should not be replaced. We confirmed that we are not going to replace that, and we confirmed the position and the location. In regards to village codes for landscaping and whether or not the village may require us to do additional landscaping on the corner of Piper's Drive and South Bartlett Road, where the silt fence will sit. Based on our understanding of the code, we have shown restoration of landscape areas to match the existing condition. They did attempt to submit for permit, but the Village Bartlett would not begin their review until a contractor's on board. So that's something we will find out at a later date. Finally, the issue of the courtyard fence. Trustee Olson brought up a good point that we may want to extend the concrete sidewalk and then have the snowplow contractors make sure that that's shoveled, or have our maintenance staff make sure that it's shoveled to go to our new fence, so that if there is a fire, that will all be cleared and there's a sidewalk that people can get out. So that's not technically included in the project as of right now, no. But we can add it as an alternate when we review all of the bid proposals at the meeting on the 30th.
I do have one other thing that Nate and I talked about, and I wasn't clear after our discussion. I don't know whether Nate was either. The area that is presently enclosed by the fence that are garbage and generator, and I guess it's a power transmitter or transformer or something that sits out here. Are we going to repave that area there? Because as I look down on it from the children's area, the asphalt that's contained within that is really highly deteriorated.
I don't think that it's included presently. I will verify with Elizabeth, and if it's not, we can add it as an alternative.
Yeah, I if we're going to have somebody out here doing the work, it would seem to me that to leave that in its present state would be doing ourselves a disservice.
Correct.
Thank you.
Anyone else have anything regarding the parking lot? Finance committee meeting update.
I will refer to the three trustees that are on the committee to talk about how they thought it went.
Well, actually, I thought it went very well. We moved through the agenda efficiently. It was a little different because James was there explaining some things, and that took some time. It'll be interesting to see how the future ones go, to see if it's if they remain a worthwhile effort. Tonight, we went through some areas very quickly, I believe, in the budget administration, stuff like that. So if this keeps up, I think it's a good idea. We'll see how it works out. That's my feelings.
Trustee Danny?
Observation on my part, please. I know that we have three extremely qualified men on this finance committee, but I find it odd that we don't have a female on the finance committee. And secondly, if the finance committee is going to be meeting during the day, those of us that would want to maybe sit in and listen on the meeting aren't necessarily available because we have work schedules. So just, I'm, you know, kind of throwing it out there. I think representing the female population, maybe the women would like to sit and listen to what's going on. We're always good at spending money, so we might as well be able to listen.
I will make future, I will make sure any future finance or committee meetings are at evening time.
Appreciate that, because it's the same thing with the foundation meetings, you know, and we can't always make the, John, quit laughing. We can't always make the meetings, so.
I thought it was an odd twist to put the bow of a message of empowerment with the whole cliche at the end, but artfully done.
And that's me, thank you.
I was part of the committee. I thought it was a good use of time. I think sometimes these topics can get into the weeds a bit, and I didn't find that to be the case at this meeting, which was refreshing. Did we unlock any great mysteries? I don't believe so, but it's good to be thorough. I thought that was the appropriate use of time.
I thought it was a very productive meeting. We have a couple more topics, one being the long-range capital plan and projections that I wanted to discuss as a committee, probably not for 2 or 3 months, but prior to our coming up with the beginning of our budget process, because I think it lays kind of a groundwork. I was surprised at the time of day that the meeting was. I didn't have anything to do with setting that. And when I suggested the two people on the committee to work with me, it was based on things that they had expressed and particular areas of profession that I thought would be a good match for what I was trying to do with the committee. So I don't have any biases other than trying to select people that I think we can get the most out of. Not to say that others whose talents I'm not aware of can't do likewise.
I was going to say, perhaps in the future, members of the Finance Committee can rotate in and out of it. So we get a more balanced membership of it. So the entire board, the whole idea of the Finance Committee is make the meetings more efficient.
Yep.
And if more people serve on this committee.
Or why not have it, as we do with the Committee of the Wholes and other ones, why not just have the Finance Committee half an hour before our regular board meetings? Because should it not be open to the public?
Well, those meetings are open to the public.
They are open to the public. So you preferred the method of a committee?
Well, I just wonder, you know, I mean, that way everybody would be involved. You could have your three nucleus, but the rest of us would at least be able to, you know, interact or offer a suggestion or ask a question. You know, what's one and three? I don't, you know, just simple stuff.
information-only items. You guys have all read through those. If there's any questions, we'll entertain those now. Otherwise, is there any new business that anyone has? Town Hall? Any motions, Major? Trustee Barry?
So moved.
Awesome. Trustee Pizarro, thank you. Town Hall, sure.
Let's see if we can get your nose on that. Boyer?
Yes.
Tyus?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Pizarro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
It is adjourning at, what is it, 7:51?
Mary Jane, what did you do?
Mary Jane, what did you do?
What did you do?
I asked you first.